This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 18, 2016, the fourth Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday, with an address from Mr. Patrick McCain.
We have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Throughout this Advent season, we have been talking about those things that we ought to do to prepare ourselves for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as our judge. We pointed out last week that we have been given the grace to do this. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's something that you receive without warrant. You don't deserve it. You receive it out of His love for you. We have received grace, as the Holy Spirit speaks through St. Paul, to bring about the obedience of faith. This is what we're doing during Advent. This is what we are called to do throughout our Catholic lives, is to bring about an obedience of faith. We are not by nature obedient creatures. We do not like obedience, but such is our relationship with our Lord. It's about serving Him. It's about serving our Lord Jesus Christ, the mystery of His redemption. We serve that mystery of redemption both with Him and dependent on Him. This is not the Christian bookstore poster or card proposition of me and Jesus. It's not us and Jesus, as if there are two different things. It us is us with Jesus. We are in complete union with our Savior. We must be in complete union with Him. And if you are in union with Him, then you are dependent on Him. This is what negates that whole faith alone proposition. It is both redemption with our Lord Jesus Christ and dependence on Him through our affiliation with Him, our union with Him that we hear about so often. And we get this by His grace. Grace, it sounds like such and it is an abstract term, and it ought not be approached in an abstract manner or subjectively. Grace has a result. And grace within us fosters a desire to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a desire to serve Him. If there's a problem if you've got to drag yourself here every week. Now there's going to be bad weeks. The kids this week's schedule, that, whatever it might be. I'm not saying that it's always, you're going to have an insipid grin on your face when you have to come in here. But you should want to come here. And even on those rough weeks, even when it's a bad day, when you're coming, there ought to be an underlying understanding that you're doing something good. You're doing something because you have a desire to do it, not to fulfill an obligation. If it's just a matter of fulfilling obligations, we need to sit down and talk, because that does nothing for you. You have to have a desire to serve our Lord. That's our belief as Catholics. That's another word. You know, we hear grace all the time. We hear, that's abstract. We hear belief. What is belief? Well, that means I believe in God. There are a lot of folks on the face of this planet who believe in some sort of deity that lives somewhere else, that's outside of them. It's not a matter of a cognitive, I believe there's a God. Mohammedans have a God. He's not a triune God. Jews have a God. He's not a triune God. we have to understand that our God, who is a triune God, has sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins. And while God was here in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, he made the statements, several statements, but such as, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Not way as in method, way as in route, way as in path, camino. That is the way that our Lord Jesus Christ talks about. This fallacy about, well, all roads lead ultimately to heaven. That is a lie. That is an absolute lie. They don't. Because I say no, because God says that I am the way, the truth, and life, and only you come to the Father but through me. That's belief. Belief is submitting the mind and the will to God's authority and to freely accept the truths that he proposes. That one that I just threw out is a truth that is proposed by God Almighty. Not because I say it, not because I think it. You got to consider the source. God Almighty, he says that. You better put your eggs in that basket because he says. So belief is just not a cognitive, I believe that there's a God. It is, as I said, a submitting the mind and the will to God's authority and freely accepting the truths that he proposes. He proposes a lot of truths. And sometimes the truths, they always butt up against our human nature because we like to be the arbiters of what we like, what we'll do. That whole salad bar theology thing I always talk about. I like this. I don't like that. I'll do this. I'll really do that because I like that. I'm never going to do that. We cannot approach it like that. We need to assent to the truths that our Lord Jesus Christ proposes to us. One of those truths is the Catholic Church. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter makes his confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed to this, but my Father who is in heaven, and you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Not a church, not the church in an ambiguous set. My church. My church. That is the only church that Jesus Christ says, my church. The Roman Catholic Church. Everything else that is called that has got a guy's name that you can submit to back in history that had a tiff with somebody and started his own thing. He did not accept the truths that our Lord proposes, that there is only one church and you have to belong to it. And even though she may be blemished and scarred and ugly at times, it's the only one we have going. We need to embrace that. That is one of the truths that God proposes, and we have to freely accept that. It's about serving him. We need to serve him. And this whole Advent is a matter of how do we serve him better? I've said time and time again, it's not about beating yourself up over this, that, or the other thing. It's about how do I serve my Savior better? What can I do? And yes, what can I do? Again, a negation of that faith alone thing. We do things for our salvation. The Holy Spirit tells us that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. St. Paul says we have received grace to bring about obedience of faith. We have to be obedient. In the Jerusalem Bible, what Paul says is actually translated to teach obedience of faith. I like that because a lot of people fall into, well, I don't teach anybody. Well, yeah, you do. It starts here. It's got to start in here. You start to teach yourself freely accepting the truths that our Lord proposes, submitting your mind and your will to God's authority. Absolutely. Slowly but surely, whittling away that stuff that keeps us bound to the old man. Deeds, things that we do, works. It is not an either-or proposition. It's either works or grace. That's ridiculous. That's not the proposition. It is both and works and grace. Redemption with our Lord Jesus Christ dependent on our Lord Jesus Christ. We have examples of that in the readings today. The Blessed Virgin Mary, the Old Testament, the prophecy, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." That comes to fruition when Our Lady does conceive under the power of the Holy Spirit. She conceives because she gave her fiat. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She freely accepted the divine will, wholeheartedly. And she did it without a single stain of sin to restrain her from doing that. She gave herself entirely to the person and work of her Son. So that's not a good example, because she was immaculately conceived and I'm not. That was easy for her to do it because she had no stain of sin. She was immaculately conceived because of what she had to do. Her wholehearted giving of herself entirely to the person and work of her Son was of her own volition. Now, you can still argue, well, she's immaculately conceived, she didn't have sin. St. Joseph was not immaculately conceived. He was a human being just like each and every one of us, a righteous and a just man, but a human being just like us. And you think of the quandary that this whole incarnation thing presents to him. Under the Mosaic law, my betrothed is pregnant. His path of least resistance course of action is to walk out. Mary, my betrothed is pregnant, not my child. You know what the next course of action is? Dragging her out and stoning her to death. It's a gross understatement to say he did not want to put her to shame. Yeah, it's shameful to be drug out and stoned to death. So there's a lot more going on there. But he's between a rock and a hard place, because if he doesn't say anything, if he does go through this plan that he has of putting her away privately, if he gets caught, he is complicit in her sin. And under Mosaic law, he can be killed also. What do you do? He submitted himself entirely to the will of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he had faith and he was obedient to the angel of the Lord who told him what to do and what was going on. And it ends up by saying he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. That flew in the face of his personal safety, much less of what he felt internally as to his course of action. He did what the angel of the Lord told him. That is the message. That is why we have times like Advent and Lent, when we can focus our, how can I serve him better? Not a time of beating ourselves up, as I say, but a time of fixing things. The Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph, the saints, each and every one of us. There is a purpose to why we are called to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason you're called to serve him is not because he thinks you're a nifty person, not because you deserve it, but because he wants you to advance his kingdom. It starts in here, then it goes out into your family, and then your concentric circle of friends. The purpose and effect of the apostolic ministry, and yes, we are all apostles, small a, messengers of our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose and effect of the apostolic ministry is to bring about obedience of faith. We have in our midst today someone who has been with us for a while, who has lived recently this obedience of faith, jumping from the comfort zones of this, that, and the other thing to where he knew the Lord was calling him. It's easier for me to not talk about it and let him speak of it.
Dear friends in Christ, my time at this parish has been a happy time of refreshment and growth. I've experienced God's love concretely through each of you, my beloved brothers and sisters, who've shared in my joys and sorrows, who've supported me in discernment. Although next Sunday is my last Sunday at this parish, I will address you for the last time today. Today, when we reflect upon St. Joseph, an unlikely and originally unwilling participant in the economy of salvation, Joseph must have wondered many times how he got himself into all this unwanted and unwelcomed excitement, why God had chosen him for such an unusual responsibility. But he was obedient and risked his life in protecting the Christ child and his virgin mother. Joseph put aside his own wishes, his own preferences, and did what needed to be done. During the remainder of this Advent season, and as we go into the Christmas season, I hope that we all will take St. Joseph as a model for how to live. Perhaps in some ways we can all identify with him. He lived life in the world. According to small t tradition, he was married with children and then widowed. His story shows us that we don't have to be young or free from worldly cares in order to serve God. Neither do we have to be especially enthusiastic volunteers. We simply have to obey his calling. We may not always like it. In fact, we may refuse at first, like Joseph. But God can be patient and persistent and use us nonetheless. We can't forget that the miracle of Christmas required human cooperation in so many ways. No one forced Mary to become the mother of God. The Magi, who don't show up until January 6th, I hope, could have decided that the trip to Palestine was just too far. And Joseph, well, Joseph could have abandoned the woman and the child and trusted to his care, but he didn't, despite the danger and the inconvenience. On several occasions, I imagine he swallowed hard, steadied his nerves, kept his mouth shut, and prayed for God to help him one day at a time as he pressed forward. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas, let us remember that the Son of God took flesh in a world where people make choices. It's a world where we all have our priorities, our goals, our vision of the good life. But often God's calling doesn't fit with our preferences. We, like Joseph, are called to obey, to respond in freedom, to play our role in the unfolding of God's salvation for the world. Through his incarnation and birth, Christ invites us, he calls us to share in his life. He comes to raise us to the joy of the kingdom, even as we live and breathe. But in order for this marvelous transformation to occur, we must embrace him, we must respond to him, we must hear and obey his calling. We will not do so in some Catholic utopia, in some storybook world of religious platitudes, but in a world just as harsh and brutal as the one our Savior was born into. There are still those who kill the innocent, even defenseless children. There are still situations of war, persecution, abuse. We never have to look far to find people who are as vulnerable and needy as the newborn Lord. We can all play the role of Joseph. To those that I just mentioned, we can all play the role of Joseph to them in one way or another by giving generously of our time, attention, and other resources to become their friends and protectors. The good news of this season is that because of Christ's incarnation and birth, all persons are called to heaven. I didn't say all will get there, but I said all people are called to the life of heaven. The particulars of that calling vary for each of us, and it's not always as clear as the star the Magi will follow. And sometimes, even when it's clear, we refuse, like Joseph. But one thing is certain. We have to listen first. We have to listen in order to hear God's calling to us. This means daily prayer and stillness and quiet, in which our hearts and souls are opened to the Lord. And it means cultivating an obedient faith, the kind that we see in Joseph. Like him, we may be called to new, unexpected responsibilities, to sacrifice our standing in the eyes of others, even to risk life as we know it. So like St. Joseph, let us serve Christ always with the fear of God, with faith and love. Let us put aside our excuses and do what has to be done in order for us to participate more fully in the new life that our Savior has brought to the world. Let us be especially attentive to those who are weak, vulnerable, and displaced, for that is how the Lord came to us. Let us prepare to celebrate the glorious feast of our salvation by loving him and serving him every way that we can. The life of service to which we've been called is a life of love that grows and deepens until our last day, when we shall see the God who made us, who directs us, who will finally and forever embrace us. My hope and prayer as I depart from you is that the Holy Spirit will continue to fan into flame the love of Christ that is in your hearts and mine, that united to him and to one another, we may grow in holiness and bear witness to the presence of God in the world. You know, I'm not finding it easy to leave you. As I depart from you, I want to convey my deep gratitude for the many expressions of kindness, affirmation, and generosity that I've received, especially from Father Holliday, from the Views who welcomed me into their home, and from the Knights of Columbus. By the grace of God, your story and mine have intersected. I thank God for the gift of my vocation, but I'm thankful for all of you, for the gifts you have given me in my ministry. I commend you always to the care of St. Mary the Virgin, the Mother of God and our Mother, and to St. Joseph, her faithful and loving spouse, by whose prayers you can move confidently into the future Christ has ordained for you. And I ask the Lord Jesus to incline you according to his will and heart, that he may guide you and watch for the salvation of your souls. As it is written through the prophet Isaiah, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples, but upon you the Lord shines. Keep on being the light you have been for me, and the world will know that God dwells among us.